So, but what I was thinking about when I looked at these texts is, what might love look like these days? And it's the thing that really got me thinking about this from the very beginning was Paul's interaction with the Greek philosophers and the brainiacs of the day in Athens. And one of the things that has always caught my eye about this is Paul's orientation towards these people. As we all know, when Paul, previous to his Damascus Road experience, was an extremely forceful and black and white thinking kind of person, to the point where he persecuted followers of the way and all of those sorts of things. When we look at Galatians, there's some really strong language that Paul has in Galatians, talking about people that he doesn't care for. So it wouldn't surprise us, in one way, that if we read about Paul interacting with the people of Athens, that Paul walked in and said, essentially, I'm right, you're wrong, listen and be better. But he didn't. Why? Well, that got me thinking about a whole bunch of things, not least of which about Paul, who went to these people and knew enough about their context to be able to use some of their own writers, some of their own thinkers to interact with them, who listened respectfully to what they had to say, spoke respectfully back. And what it brought into sort of high relief for me is how infrequent, how almost never that happens today. There's this whole idea, particularly online, and even in public discourse, where the notion of respect, the notion of sort of common civility, is less common than it was before. And I started thinking about that, and one of the things that struck me is that what motivated Paul wasn't just the understanding that he had truth and that other people needed to hear it, but what we see over and over again in Paul's writings, particularly in the opening and closing of his letters, is that Paul loved people. He really did. That was one of the dramatic, maybe the most dramatic transition that he went through on that road to Damascus when he was knocked off his horse. I think one of the things that came with that interaction with the risen Lord was that he began to love people. Not love the right people, not love the people that he thought were worth it, but he just loved people. And that comes through over and over again in Paul. There are moments, as I said, the letter to the Galatians, it's got some pretty strong stuff in there. But on the whole, what we see over and over again is Paul talking about how he wants people to know this Jesus that he knows, because he wants them to be as well as he is, because he loves them, whether he knows them or not. And we see that in also in our 1 Peter reading. At least we see hints of this, at least I see them there, where we have Peter telling his readers and then us that, you know, I always like this one, who is going to harm you if you are eager to do good? Well, he knows that some people will, because he says, but even if you should suffer for what is right, you are blessed. But the bigger thing is down in verse, see if I can focus on here, but verse 18. And he's talking about being ready to give an answer for what you believe, being ready to interact with people. But do this with gentleness and respect. Well, that brought me once again back to this whole, the way we interact with people, particularly online, and particularly in groups. And I began to ask the question, what might love look like these days? How do we demonstrate love? We see in places in Scripture, we see in the words of Jesus, that if we are going to be his followers, if we are going to be those who follow Jesus, who have that relationship with God through Jesus, empowered by the Holy Spirit, we will love each other and we will love people. Well, what does that look like? Well, some of it's really obvious. I mean, the way we treat each other in this room, in this community, is obvious. That we love each other, we care for each other, we respect each other, we listen, we do all of those things. This is obvious. But are we the same when we're interacting with people online? Now, maybe you never do. Maybe you don't interact with people online, and there's nothing wrong with that, that's for sure. But one of the things I see over and over again is people who would identify as being in the same faith community as us, namely Protestants, Christians, maybe even Presbyterians, who don't interact with people in ways that are gentle and respectful. And it struck me, I was talking to Hadley about this as we were driving. I dropped them off at the hospital so they could hang out with Haley so Will could have a break. And just because when you're sick, who doesn't want your mom? I can't think of anybody. So we were talking about this, and we're talking about how that love doesn't mean that we close our eyes to oppression. Love doesn't mean that we don't resist evil. But what love does is that it listens to people and respectfully listens before saying things, and is less likely to be part of this movement we have that says, as soon as you say the wrong thing, you're done. You know, as soon as you identify with the wrong movement, as soon as you identify with the wrong political party, you're done. We don't have to talk to you anymore. We don't want to talk to you anymore. Not only have you made a bad decision, you have now become a bad person. Obviously, we don't think of it quite that way, because hardly any of us think we're that black and white, and hardly any of us actually are. But often our reactions are that way. And we'll read somebody's opinion somewhere, and we'll go, oh, well, that's it. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to pay any attention to them anymore. And I'm not saying we have to pay attention to everybody we disagree with. We don't have enough time for that. But is our reaction one that's based in love, or is it one that's based in anger? Is it one that's based in tiredness? All of us we've been through a lot in these last few years, pandemics and all kinds of things. Maybe we're just too tired to spend the time it takes to find out what this person might actually mean. And so we just say, that's it. And there's nothing wrong with being tired. And there's nothing wrong that sometimes you do have to limit that. One of the things I've been doing in the last 2 weeks is I've been looking at every email I get that comes from a list and saying, why am I keeping this? Not why did I start it, because there's always a good reason for that. You know, they had interesting things to say. It was some kind of a merchant that I was interested in. But why am I keeping it? And the reason why I'm doing this is that me, and I'm not going to speak for anybody else, but I have discovered I simply have too many inputs in my life. I have too many things that I have to look at. So I'm limiting all the ones I don't need. And so there's all kinds of email newsletters that have good things. There's nothing wrong with them, but I've unsubscribed from most of them in the last couple of weeks, because they just demand my attention. They take it away from other things, and I don't need it. I'm not doing it because I'm angry with them. Might be stretching it a bit to say that I'm doing it in love towards them. But I'm doing it from a perspective of, how do I care for myself? Not just, are they right or wrong, but what's happening here? And that's when I'm wondering if that might be some way that we can lead a little bit in our communities outside of this building. In how do we respond to the things in our life? Is our response one that could be easily characterized as based in love? Listening to people who you disagree with, listening respectfully, and then interacting with them respectfully is a sign of love for them as a human being. You don't have to love what they think. You don't have to love the football team they support, to put it as trivially as possible, or about any other particular issue. But you can love them and interact with them in a way that's respectful and gentle. Somebody said that the whole notion of nuance in online conversations has been completely lost. And I don't think that's quite, that might be a bit of an exaggeration, but it's not valued the same way. So how do we demonstrate that we love people? I think we do it by how we treat them. And that includes online. That includes how we talk about them when they're not there. And I think what love might look like these days is the same way it's always looked, really. But maybe we can take a bit of a stand against this so-called canceled culture. Against this idea that you get one mistake. Well, if we only got one mistake in the rest of our lives, I don't think any of us would have accomplished very much. I don't know how old I was when I made my first mistake, but I don't think I was very old. Because, of course, I wasn't very old. We just make mistakes. And in the same way that we hope that people will listen to us and give us a bit of grace when we make mistakes, when we say dumb things, even when we have dumb ideas, because, well, I mean, there's three people here that might not be old enough to know what this is like, but the rest of us do. You think back a few years, maybe when you're in your teens or your 20s, I'd be surprised if there isn't something you sort of think back and shake your head a bit. How did I think that was sensible? Well, if we can extend a certain amount of compassion and care to our younger selves in retrospect, can't we do the same to those around us, whether it's face-to-face or whether it's in some other way? Because when we do that, we're swimming against the stream of our culture. And one of the ways we demonstrate who we are is by doing things that other people might not do. And being gentle and respectful in our interactions, being careful with our language, by looking at people and assuming that the one thing they say doesn't identify them in their entirety. That's an act of love. At least it can be. And the easiest way to make those acts of love is to approach people, whether you're seeing them face-to-face or online or seeing them on television or reading them in the newspaper or whatever else, with love. Reminding ourselves that in the same way that God loved us enough to reach out to us, to call us to this place, to this community of faith, God loves all these other people just as much. That doesn't mean we agree with them. It doesn't mean that we close our eyes to things that are wrong. But it means we never lose sight of the fact that behind every dumb idea, behind every position we don't like, behind every evil act, there's a human being for whom Jesus came and demonstrated love enough to live among us, to die and rise again. Loving others isn't always easy, but it's always better. It is possible to resist the wrong in love. Jesus did it. When we think of sort of the pillars of nonviolent resistance to wrong, think of Martin Luther King and others who were by no means perfect, but managed to do this without that sense of anger and hate and all that. It's possible. Take some work. But if we want to demonstrate love to people, I think one of the best ways is to show how we interact with them and with others that values them as human beings. God loves just as much as God loves us. Amen.